There are millions of people around the world that get their information from Wikipedia. Is there some sort of liberal censorship going on their part? I don't know. Let's talk about that right now on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is David Klinghoffer, who edits a very interesting news site for Discovery, the Discovery Institute, discovery.org, and his website specifically is evolutionnews.org. David, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Great to be here.
Sure. So, first of all, how many people actually access Wikipedia and assume that what it's saying is correct about?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that number, but it's countless. I mean, if you enter anything, any
yeah.
idea, any person, work of art, in a search engine, the very first thing that comes up will be Wikipedia. And everyone assumes that it has all the authority of the encyclopedia that you grew up with.
Yeah.
And of course, one thing that's interesting about it, I just learned, is that the seed of Wikipedia, its text, is the 11th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica from 1911, which is the classic edition of Britannica. And the reason that they were able to use it is because it's in the public domain now.
Right, right.
But everything has, of course, since been modified. And the way that it's modified is very interesting. In the old encyclopedia, you would look at the end of an article, and there would be someone's initials. And then you look in the front of the book, and it tells you who the initials belong to. And they were often the well-known scholars of the day, the best-known scholars of the day. Wikipedia does not have authors in that sense. It's edited by typically pseudonymous editors who could be anyone. And there's sort of a funhouse aspect to it because they take, instead of using real names, they'll use sort of fanciful pseudonyms. Anyway, I'm telling you more than
right. No, I understand. I understand. So let me ask you this. Okay, getting to the top story here, as far as you as an editor for evolutionnews.org, and you're coming at this from a pro intelligent design perspective. You do not believe in evolution,
sure.
And so forth. How does bias on the part of Wikipedia impact the creation evolution debate or the intelligent design evolution debate?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the editors of Wikipedia have a bias, and it's interesting to consider why, if you want to call it liberal or left wing or anti-intelligent design or pro-evolution, whatever you want to call it, they've got definitely an axe to grind. And so, if you look at their entry on intelligent design, it says this is a religious argument for the existence of God, and that's not true at all. It's not a religious argument, nor is it an argument for the existence of God. It's a scientific argument for purpose and design in nature. So they lead right off with an untruth, or if you want to be unkind, you could call it a lie. But you were curious about one particular instance of what I would call censorship.
Yes.
There's a man named Gunter Beckley, who's a paleoentomologist. That means someone who studies ancient insects. And so his specialty is dragonflies from tens of millions of years ago. And he's a very interesting person. He's a German scientist. And he became an advocate of intelligent design. And at that time, he was a curator for the state Natural History Museum in Stuttgart, Germany. And when he came out for intelligent design, he was pushed out of his museum, and his web pages on their site were all erased. And he eventually found a welcoming home with Biologic Institute, which is affiliated with Discovery Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a Wikipedia page, not surprisingly. He's a very notable scientist, and he's got, scientific publications lists longer than your arm, and he's got a number of insect taxa and species named after him.
Wow.
And he's got a whole insect species family called Beckleidae, named for him.
Mm-hmm.
And these are his. This is his work. And he so in his old Wikipedia page it detailed his accomplishments. And then at the bottom there was a small paragraph that read intelligent design, and it indicated that he had become a proponent of the theory of intelligent design. At some point, one of the editors discovered this and launched what amounts to an investigation of him as to whether he's notable enough to have a Wikipedia entry. And if you have clicked around Wikipedia at all, you know that everybody and his dog can have a Wikipedia page. You know, not everyone does, but people who really are not significant personalities at all will often have a 9,000-word Wikipedia entry with no problem. But Gunter Beckley, who had a business-like Wikipedia page, was discovered by one of these editors, and an inquiry was started as to whether it should be deleted or not. And they had a discussion online, which you can actually read. You can read the entirety of their discussion. And they ultimately decided to erase him from Wikipedia. You know, a notable, significant scientist. And the people who were discussing his fate were people who were for the most part under pseudonyms. So one was called JoJo.
Yeah.
JoJo. And JoJo was the editor who was in charge of the inquiry. And JoJo was identified on his own user page as a 23-year-old boy from Switzerland. He says he likes to be called a boy instead of a man. And then JoJo has an alternative identity as a 500-year-old wizard. So this is the person who is sitting in judgment of the scientist who gets to enter the discussion and points out his resume and his list of accomplishments. But it doesn't mean anything to these people because they're not experts in the field. Like in the old classic encyclopedia, they're just random people who have a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah. And they obviously have a bias against, intelligent design and so forth. But who are the actual gatekeepers? I mean, for example, you said you can read this discussion online. Well, that means that Wikipedia's censorship is not complete or total, because if you can read, you know, the efforts to, you know, erase this guy, Gunter Beckley, then it can't be totally censored, right?
That's right. So in reality, anyone can go on Wikipedia and enter any page at all, except some pages, because they've been vandalized, are locked. But an ordinary page, anyone can go on and edit it. The problem is that people who care about that page for one reason or another are on an alert system.
Yeah.
So that if you go in and you edit the entry about Gunter Beckley when it existed, someone who cares about that page, who may very well have an axe to grind, will instantly get an alert, a message, an email, and then will go, if he doesn't like what you wrote, he'll go and erase it. And that's what happened. That's what we found with the page on intelligent design. And
well, I think it shows, if anything, it shows that people should not put their trust in Wikipedia. The Bible says all things are to be established by two or three witnesses. So if Wikipedia says something, don't take it to the bank. You need to make sure that can be verified from other sources. But who are the gatekeepers of Wikipedia here?
Well, there isn't, that's the problem. There aren't identifiable gatekeepers. It's a community of volunteers. And anyone can volunteer, and the more time you spend on it, the more authority you have in whatever algorithm they use. And so it's a self-selecting group, and what it means is that if you're someone who has, again, a lot of time on your hands, then you can police Wikipedia pages that you care about. But someone like most people who probably are listening to your show, who have a job, who have a family, who have outside interests, don't have time for that. Who can do that? Am I going to monitor a page around the clock? I don't have to. I can't do that. You probably can't. I'm sure you can't either.
Correct.
But if you're a 23-year-old boy in Switzerland who probably doesn't have a family, but maybe doesn't work, you can. People from that sociological demographic of people who probably don't have families, probably don't work, I'm just guessing, will automatically have the upper hand against anyone who does have a life. And that's what you find. You find people editing Wikipedia who either are hobbyists, or who care a lot, or who have free time. And that puts someone of whom that's not true at a huge disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so going back, though, to the overall story here, not only about Wikipedia, but even about Gunter Beckley, it sounds like this is a major conversion. I mean, here's a guy that spent his whole life working to promote Darwinian evolution. In fact, was celebrating and organizing Germany's largest celebration of the 150th anniversary of the origin of the species. And here, I'm going to actually quote him from your press release about this. "When organizing the Darwin anniversary event, I made one big mistake," explains Beckley. "I read the books against intelligent design. What I recognized to my surprise is that the arguments I found in those books were totally different from what I heard and read about the discussion of intelligent design versus neo-Darwinian evolution." So he ended up becoming an intelligent design theorist. And I understand that there's a video that you've been involved in making about Michael Behe, whom we've interviewed in this program. Right. He wrote the classic book, Darwin's Black Box. Tell us about that video, because it includes Gunter Beckley, I understand.
Sure, right. So we celebrated the 20th anniversary of the publication of Behe's book, Darwin's Black Box, recently, and we released, in connection with that, an hour-long documentary called Revolutionary, which is about Behe and his work on intelligent design. And in the course of the documentary, it discusses some people who have been impacted by Behe's writing. And one of those people was Gunter Beckley. So Gunter has the opportunity to tell a bit of his story. And he explains that he was not a religious guy. He's, as I said, German, which is not a particularly religious culture. Mm-hmm. And he had the assignment of organizing an exhibition on the anniversary of Darwin's Origin of Species. And he wanted to feature some of the absurd criticisms of Darwin's theory from people like intelligent design proponents. So he was going, part of his exhibit was going to be a negative response to intelligent design.
Yeah, here's what the flat Earth people have to say.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the interesting things, if you
you're in a bad cell. One of the interesting things.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes. Okay, go ahead. And we're almost out of time, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So one of the things you find if you follow this debate is that people discuss intelligent design knowing nothing about it.
Yeah.
And that's true of scientists, people in the media, et cetera. And as you mentioned, Beckley decided to read Darwin's Black Box, and that was the beginning of the end of his confidence in Darwinian theory.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, evolutionnews.org for more information, revolutionarybehe.com to see that film. Behe is spelled B-E-H-E. And the moral of the story is, put not your trust in Wikipedia. David Klinghoffer, thanks so much for being with us. All the best to you.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now.